Thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Father, we just praise you for being our God and our King. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The baby's voicing how I'm feeling right now. Anyways, that is awesome. Hey, a couple of announcements I'd like to make to you. First of all, Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. No, never mind. No, Merry Christmas. What a great time of year. Just a reminder, no service tomorrow, okay? Normally we have our midweek service. No service tomorrow. Also, like I said, our bookstore is open if you need last-minute gift ideas. Also, don't forget, after our candlelight service, go in the fellowship hall. We have cookies. We got hot cocoa. It's just a time to just celebrate as a family, come together, hug on each other, pray for each other, high five, low five, whatever you need to do. Okay, that's right after this. Also, my bride has volunteered. She's a photographer. She has volunteered to do family portraits for you and your family. She's got a little setup thing in there. Yeah, so, you know, go over there, take your family. Hey, bring a couple of families. We'll squeeze you all in. It'd be awesome, all right? So with that, let's open with prayer. Once again, Father, just bless this time, bless this night. In Jesus' name, amen. So the reason for the season, hang on before, yeah, worship team, you can come up. I like you guys. Listen, the reason for the season, yeah, the lights are wonderful, the trees, the gifts, the hugs, the turkey, the ham, whatever you're having, those are all great things. But the true meaning of Christmas, I think one of the best verses in the Bible, of course, you see it on many Christmas cards, is Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." I can't wait for that. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." Think about that. A child is born and he will be called Everlasting Father. That means that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You see, Jesus Christ was born to come and give us peace. Jesus Christ was born to take back what belongs to him, and that is all of creation, this world, humanity. And so we are celebrating that tonight. And so I just want you to sing out to the Lord. I want you to give praise to Jesus. Do it from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus, you deserve all the praise, all the glory, all the adoration. Father God, you deserve everything that is in us because you created us and you paid for us. We are twice yours. And so, Lord, tonight as we come together as a family, as we sing out praise to you, as we focus on the true meaning of Christmas, I pray that you are pleased and blessed. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Let's stand and sing a couple of songs.
Receive her King. go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness.
Yes, Lord, we come to adore you. We come to praise you. We come to give you our adoration. Lord, we love you for all that you are, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. All right. Well, there's a lot of people who couldn't make it here tonight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot a little video, and I want you guys all to say, as I pan, I want you to say, we wish you a Merry Christmas in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that?
Yes.
Let's try it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas in the name of the Lord.
How about this? We wish you a Merry Christmas in the name of the Lord. All right, let's try it. Let's try it. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Let's get it going here. I'll tell you when. All right, go ahead.
We wish you a Merry
Yeah. Woo, Merry Christmas. Awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, well, hey, listen, our youth, we have a thriving youth group here, and they put together a little Christmas video that they would like to share with you their heart this Christmas. So watch the screen.
For all of our sins, so we would be saved from our sins.
For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
So what Christmas means to me is basically worshiping and praising Jesus. It's really not all about the Christmas shopping and everything. It's about, how do I say it? It's about like praising and like knowing what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for our sins.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name
Christmas represents the opportunity to connect with family over the life and birth of Christ, and it's always meant a lot to be able to see them and to connect with them on so many different ways and to just celebrate in general. I don't really have that many opportunities to, so Christmas time and holiday season is always a blessing for me.
Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who Christ is the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, who you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Christmas is about Jesus dying on the cross and what Jesus' birthday.
Yay!
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, I love when we teach our youth to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And at this time, I do believe we're going to have children's church coming in. Is that correct? They're going to do a song, or are they in there? All right, come on back. Or come on up from the back. Awesome. Come on up. Are they not adorable? Aw. That is awesome. Awesome. Well, she doesn't want it to stop. She looks like Cindy Lou Who. Yeah, that was beautiful. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Ah, Christmas, it's a time to shout for joy, isn't it? Yeah, I agree. You know, there was a great saying from a very, very wise person who once said this. Maybe Christmas, the Grinch thought, doesn't come from a store. You know, he is right. Christmas doesn't come from a store. Christmas, the heart of Christmas, the truth of Christmas, cannot be bought, period. It cannot be bought, cannot be sold. It is. Here's the beautiful one. It's a free gift, the gift of Christmas. My bank account loves that. You know, Calvin Coolidge said this. He said, Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, and to have a real spirit of Christmas. And I thought to myself, and I thought, Calvin Coolidge, that statement isn't Coolidge at all. Listen, it's not a state of mind. Christmas is not a state of mind. It's the heart of the matter. It's loving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's loving what he came down and did for us. It's loving the fact that he wrapped himself up as a baby to be the ultimate gift. It's not bought in a store at all. In fact, I love this. I share this every Christmas because I think it's just cool. Jennifer was shopping with Riley. And Riley, my bride Jennifer, and Riley, my daughter, they were shopping, and Riley says, and Tony was with them, and Riley says, I'm starving to death. And Tony adds, I'm dying of soreness. I get that. Sometimes I feel at Christmas time that I am dying of soreness, but thank God I'm alive in Christ. Listen, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to buy that perfect gift for each person. You know, I'll be honest, it was so much easier to buy gifts when I was a kid, when I was younger. For instance, back in 1976, the number one Christmas gift was Stretch Armstrong. You could pick him up for about $9. If you've never played with the Stretch Armstrong, you're missing out. In 1980s, the number one gift was Cabbage Patch dolls. I remember one time watching a report on the news how two ladies had gotten in a fight and one lady broke the other lady's arm for a Cabbage Patch doll. Now you can go and find them in yard sales for a buck. Listen, it's true. Every generation has its gifts. But isn't it true today, in order to buy someone a gift, it all involves computing anymore, right? The top Christmas gifts are dealing with computers of some sort, whether it be an iPhone or an Android phone or earbuds or something to do with computers or possibly even a computer itself. Everything's so computerized. Well, one professor, a professor of computer science, decided to have fun with computers. So what he did is he took his class and he divided the guys and the gals. And he said, all right, here's your assignment. I want you each to tell me and to deliberate and tell me what is the gender of a computer. Well, after a week of deliberation, the guys decided that computers were definitely feminine. And here's why. Number one, no one but their creator can understand their internal logic. Number two, computers can communicate with each other, but with the language no one else understands. Number three, why a computer is feminine. Every mistake you made is stored on the hard drive, and the computer will never let you forget. The last and final reason why the guys thought that computers were feminine, they said this: as soon as you commit to one, the expense of the accessories go on and on and on. Well, guys, hang on, it's our turn now. The gals decided that computers were masculine. They said this: the reason why we believe computers are masculine, because they have a lot of data, but they can't think for themselves. Women said the reason why computers are masculine is because they're supposed to help us solve our problems, but half the time they are the problem. And then last but not least, the number three, and I think the women win right here. They said as soon as you commit to one, if you have waited a little longer, you could have had a better one. Merry Christmas. Oh, gosh. But listen, that's that's fun. And listen, Christmas gifts are wonderful. I love giving gifts. I love getting gifts. I love that whole heart of giving to others. I think that's fantastic. But if we were going to condense Christmas into three words, it would be this: God with us. That's it. We need to focus our attention on the infant Christ. You know, I think sometimes when we focus on the infant Christ, it makes us forget that that infant was God. Can you imagine? Amen. Can you imagine? That's what I was going to say. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you're holding a little baby to think that that baby is the creator of all things? That for Mary, that had to be one of the most profound things, to see a helpless baby and know that that was God who stripped himself of all his deity in order to come down and be an example for us. And so Christmas is about Jesus being born. Christmas is also, we know this, Christmas is a season of lights, isn't it? I mean, we even have them up here, a lot of lights, twinkly lights that we don't normally have up. You can drive up and down the streets and people have Christmas lights on their house. Some people cheat and use the lasers. You know? Still looks good. Still looks good. If you're one of those, I'm normally that. I just didn't put mine up this year. But listen, Jesus Christ is the real light. He's not just twinkling. He's shining into our lives to show us the areas that need attention. 2 Samuel 22:29 says this: "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." And that's what God wants to do. He wants to show us the areas that need some adjustments, and we all have them. Or how about Psalm 43:3? "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle." See, the fact that Jesus Christ is a light is supposed to be like a lighthouse. When we're in the storm of life, we can go straight to that light and find safety in Christ. Listen, yet, while Jesus Christ is the light, you and I are to be reflectors. Reflectors. You know, the moon is bright some nights, but it has no light of its own. It is simply reflecting the sun. You and I need to reflect the S-O-N of God. Moses reflected God. Over in Exodus 34, I love this story. Starting in verse 29. "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, and he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." So here he is in the presence of God, and God's glory, what veiled as it was veiled, because later on Moses says, "Hey, show me your glory." So he didn't, but what he saw of God, just being that much in God's presence, he's shown. You ever meet one of those people, one of those dear saints who have lived a whole life of serving God and living for God, and there's just this glow about them. It's just a beautiful thing. Well, Moses, he didn't just have this certain kind of glow. He literally shone. He was glowing. Verse 30, "So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, his skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come near him." You would be too. If we turn off the lights and I glowed in the dark, you'd be like, okay, Pastor Randy went to Chernobyl or something. Something wrong with him. And his face was shining in the daytime. In the desert. Amazing. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. How would you like that? To have to put a veil on your face to get someone to talk to you. You play with that. I'll leave it alone. But 34. "But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out to speak to the children of Israel, wherever he had been commanded, and whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak to God. Then you get to chapter 33, like I said. So here's Moses coming in the presence of God, but not fully God's presence. It's not fully God's glory. Because over in chapter 33, Moses said to God, show me your glory. And I will show you, and God says, I'll show you my afterglow. You know, we take those sparklers on the 4th of July, well, little kids do, on the 4th of July, and they do this, and it leaves a trail. Well, God says, I'm going to leave a trail, and you'll look at my trail. And he says, show me your glory. He says, you can't see my glory, but I'll show you my afterburner. Listen, do we want to see God's glory? I know I do. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, but we all, with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit, just by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, you and I, not only can we experience God's glory, but we can be an expression of his glory. That's mind-boggling. The closer we walk with him, the more people will realize that we have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the disciples when they went and they spoke and the people marveled. They said, these are uneducated men, but they marveled because they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Wow. That's my heart. My heart is to be a light, to be a light. To be an expression of his life. To be a reflector of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're all called to be. There's a song we sing here every now and then. It's called, Here I Am to Worship. Here's the words. Listen to this. It says, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Then it goes on, second verse, it says, King of all days, you are highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, for love's sake became poor. You see, that's the Christmas story right there. Jesus Christ, he left the glory, the riches of heaven to take on poor flesh, to suffer pain and sweat and turmoil and anguish and hatred and dislike. And he experienced all those. That's why Jesus wept. Because he's like, look at this world. Look at the pain. He says, but I got a plan. I got a gift. I got a gift that keeps on giving. And it's, folks, at Christmas time, sometimes you get gifts you don't like. So the next year, you wrap it up and give it to someone. Preferably, you mail it because it's no one near, right? And then they find out, wait, you forgot. I'm the one who gave it to you. Oh, I liked it so much, I wanted you to have one. Listen, the only gift that is really a blessing to re-gift is to re-gift Christ, because it never gets stale, it never gets old, it's always fresh, it's always new, it's always incredible when someone should receive that gift. So gifts, it's Christmas time. Gifts, we all tomorrow are going to open gifts. Some of you may do it at midnight tonight, I don't know, whatever your tradition is. But we all have gifts we're giving to each other. But let me ask you, what gift are you giving to the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way, it's his birthday, right? What should you give him? What gift would a Savior want? And I express this, but let me give you a verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in that way, he says this, what kind of people ought we be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and the speed it's coming. And then Peter goes on to say, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Folks, the best gift you and I can give to the Lord Jesus Christ is to live holy, set apart for him, and godly lives, and that we would be looking forward to his return. That we would be living a life that represents that we truly believe he is coming. We truly believe that he is a savior, and we are excited about what he's done in our life. Do we agree? Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas time. We thank you for this special time when we can bow our hearts, when we can offer you a gift, Lord, as we gift our friends and our loved ones, those we love, those who are near and dear to our heart, and we offer gifts to them. Lord, this is a time when we can give a gift to you, the gift of our heart and our love. And so, Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming down to save us. And Father, we just pray that we would be a reflection of your goodness, of your love and your mercy. And so, Father, be with us. May you inhabit the praises of your people. Father, we just can't wait for you to come and take us home. But until that time, we're going to be found faithful to the call to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. Have a seat. You have a seat. That has got to be the coolest version of that song I've ever heard. That was awesome. Wow. Okay, I didn't expect that. That was really cool. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, well, listen. Now we come to my favorite part of tonight's service, and that is when we light the candles. But I want you to understand the meaning of the lighting of the candles. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says this: "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they put a lamp and put it under a basket." Do they light a lamp and put it under the basket? "But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So as we take the candle, the ushers are going to come up the middle rows, and not yet, hang on, they're excited. They're like, "We want to light some candle." Okay. As they come forward, what they're going to do is they're just going to light y'all on the end. And then what you're going to do is you're going to turn and take your candle and light the person who's next to you, and so on and so on. And listen, it's to remind us that we are to share the light of Christ with the world. Listen, the more we share the light with others, the brighter we can become in this world. One candle doesn't do a whole lot. But when we see several hundred candles in this room, you're going to see even with the lights off, it's going to be pretty bright in here. How about we take our light to this dark world and become a light? So while you sing, think about that. Give praise to the Lord. Let me pray, and then we're gonna have the ushers. Ushers, go ahead and make your way forward, and they're just going to light in the middle, and then you pass on. Be careful with the fire, though, okay? Don't light your brother or sister on fire. Just light their candle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time, Lord. Now, as we light the candles and we remember how you have set a fire in our heart, may we remind ourselves that we are to be that light in the world, that we are to take your light into darkness, even if it's just a little light. And so, Father, what a beautiful time. May we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For sending your son as a baby for salvation. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Feel free to stand if you'd like to. You can sit, you can stand, just worship the Lord. Jesus Christ, that came to earth to save us, to give us eternal salvation, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son. We thank you for the miraculous miracle that is Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much that we can come together to celebrate your birth, your love, your mercy, your grace. In your Son's name, we lift up this praise and song to you. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. There is no name above the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At his name and in his presence, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord God. And Father, we thank you that we know that now. It is true in our heart. It is true in our presence. And we're going to live this life showing people what it means to be in love and alive in Christ. That is the greatest gift that we've ever received. And it's the greatest gift that we can give to anyone else. Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. Awesome. You may be seated. You can blow out your candle. You can turn on the lights. You can hit the fans because the smoke, if you can turn the fans on, would be good. This many candles, that's going to be a lot of smoke. Hey, you know, as you blow it out, it's almost like happy birthday Jesus, right? He's alive in us. All right, y'all, listen. Here's what's going to happen. You turned out your candle, the fire that you were holding on that wax candle, but now you're going to burn bright in your heart as we go out into the world, right? Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right, we're going to sing two more songs. Sing it out to the Lord. Give it up to the Lord. And then we're going to have some cookies and hot cocoa. Let's everyone stand and sing two last songs.
Joy in grateful chorus raise.
Lord, unspeakable joy, praise to you forever. Our heart belongs to you, Lord. Merry Christmas to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, enjoy some cookies, some fellowship, and some hot cocoa. Merry Christmas, everybody.